fanny if I never get my inheritance. I've made it this long without it, so I reckon I can go on forever without Daddy's money. Harper left without saying another word. Dana leaned her back against a porch post. What happened that summer that she went to the boarding school? Nothing was ever the same around here after that. Tawny shrugged. I'm not real sure. Daddy did not cross Mother when she was in a good mood and really didn't when she was angry. And I've never seen her as mad as she was at Harper back then. You ever see that sign that says, if Mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? Dana laughed.
I had a t-shirt with that on it a few years back.
Well, it was the gospel truth in our house. Whatever happened when we got home sent Mother into a rage. She threw dishes and said she wouldn't be able to hold her head up in her social circles. And the next day, Harper was packed off to the West Coast. I always wondered if they found drugs in her bedroom. It was hell to pay after she left, Tawny said.
She was so young. And so were you, Tawny.
They sent her away on her 16th birthday. It must have been something really bad, because Mother didn't send me off, not even when she had to come bail me out of jail. I wondered if she'd gotten herself pregnant, but if she had, there would have been a baby.
I can't believe you were in trouble.
I was protesting the government's policies. I didn't really care, but my boyfriend of the day was a radical, and I got picked up and thrown in jail because I decked a policewoman who tried to cuff him.
Dana slapped a hand over her mouth. She was doomed from birth to get into all kinds of trouble. That was expected of a bastard. But the two golden-haired glory children were supposed to have wings and halos.
It happened when I was 16. Mother said that if I ever got in jail again, that she'd send me off to a place worse than where Harper went. Harper is tough as nails. If she couldn't handle it, there was no way I could. I'd already been in trouble twice at school, and she told me it was my third and final offense. I managed to stay out of trouble until last Christmas. Been on her bad side ever since.
Dana couldn't make herself go inside the house, no matter how cold it was.
That's horrible.
I can imagine being disappointed in Brooke if she made bad choices, but I'd never disown her.
That's because you are a good mother. I should be getting back. I feel better having told Granny Annie goodbye. I think she'd even like the way all three of us did it.
Me too, Dana nodded. Good night, Tawny.
Night,
she said.
Dana sat there for a long time, a smile covering her face. Tawny had said that she was a good mother. Her youngest sister would never, not in 100 years, ever know how much she'd needed to hear that. Finally, she went inside to find Brooke wrapped in a long terry cloth robe and wearing a towel turban style around her head. She hugged her daughter tightly and said,
I love you, kiddo.
Love you more, Brooke giggled. I left you some hot water. Do I smell liquor on your breath?
It's whiskey. Your two aunts and I said goodbye to Granny Annie out on the porch.
She'd like that, Brooke grinned.
Chapter 5. Only a few parking spots were left at the bar up the road from the lake on Saturday night when Harper arrived. She snagged one of them, checked her hair and makeup in the rearview mirror by the streetlight behind the truck, and slung open the door. She hadn't gone 5 yards when she heard a long, drawn-out whistle, but she ignored it. She'd heard those noises too many times in the past to let it excite her. Paying the cover fee to a big, burly bouncer at the door, she could hear boots on a wooden floor and a few hell yes, which meant there was a line dance already going on. She missed the days when a fog of smoke rushed out to meet her when the bouncer opened the door to let her inside. Progress, they called it. Cut down on cancer. It was probably a good thing, but she still missed the gray layer up by the ceiling. There was something sexy about the smell of smoke in the air when a cowboy with whiskey on his breath kissed her after two-stepping around the dance floor. A woman wearing enough bling to blind a person slid off the last vacant bar stool and staggered toward the bathroom. Harper made a beeline for it and had just parked her fanny when a short woman in tight jeans and dangling belly button jewelry tapped her on the shoulder.
That's my sister's seat. I was on my way over to save it for her when you stole it, she said.
Harper pointed at the guy's beer beside her and the bartender nodded.
Sorry about that, but it's mine now.
The woman glared at her.
So when she returns, you're going to let her have the seat back?
Nope, Harper answered. The bartender set the long-neck bottle of Coors in front of Harper and then hurried off in the other direction to wait on a couple waving bills between two old cowboys deep in conversation.
You will give that bar stool back? I'm not taking no for an answer.
Harper took a long drink from the bottle and set it back down.
Is that a threat?
The woman glared at her.
It's a fact.
Harper ignored her and took another drink. The woman who'd vacated the stool staggered out of the bathroom and stopped 10 feet from the end of the bar.
I told you to save that for me, Daisy! Some sister you are!
Harper couldn't fathom either of her sisters ever going to a bar with her, or saving her a seat if they did. Maybe they'd throw her off a stool, too.
What are you smiling about? Daisy asked.
Didn't realize I was, but if I was, then it's my business, Harper told her.
I'm making it mine.
Daisy grabbed the half-empty beer bottle and smashed it against the bar. The jagged edge was nothing more than a flash as it came up and sliced open Harper's chin. Tawny appeared out of nowhere, ground the heel of her cowboy boot into Daisy's foot, and then popped her right between the eyes with a fist. Daisy fell like a big oak tree, and her sister dropped down on her knees beside her.
You bitch! You've killed my precious sister!
She screamed.
Why in the hell did you do that? And why are you even here?
Harper demanded as blood ran through her fingers and dripped onto her shirt.
She wasn't going to stop cutting you, and I'm over 21 and I can go where I want,
Tawny said. Daisy sat up and shoved her sister out of the way.
I'm not dead, but your damned bar stool is empty, so grab it and don't bitch at me. You'll have a good seat to watch while I whip this woman's ass.
Honey, if you think you're big enough or mean enough to whip two Clancy girls, then you better pack a supper because it's going to take you all damn night,
Tawny told her. Evidently, Tawny had gotten there before Harper and into a couple of drinks because she had fire in her eyes and her fists were knotted. Her little sister might be tiny and delicate-looking, but put two margaritas in her and she thought she could whip a grizzly bear with one hand tied behind her back. One big, burly bouncer wrapped fists the size of hams around Daisy's and Tawny's arms and escorted them across the floor. Another bouncer got a firm grip on Harper and the other sister and followed right behind them. When the two men got them outside, they gave them all a push with enough force that Daisy hit the ground, and Harper had to do some fancy footwork to keep from biting the gravel.
You've ruined my night,
Daisy popped up and screeched at Harper.
We were celebrating my divorce.
Too bad. Harper continued to catch the blood dripping from her chin as she headed toward her truck.
No husband, no kids. My first time to party in 20 years. You are a bitch for ruining it for me,
the woman moaned.
You shouldn't call a woman who just crippled you and bloodied your nose a bitch unless you want more of the same. You gave your kids away?
Tawny looked over her shoulder.
Every damn one of them. I'm sick of whining teenagers blaming me for the divorce.
She slurred every word. You are batshit crazy, Harper whispered.
What did you say?
Daisy screamed. Harper turned around to face her and repeated the sentence.
Don't judge me until you've had to walk in my shoes,
Daisy growled. Tawny took a step toward her, and Harper used her free hand to pull her back. It's not worth jail time. Just walk away, Harper said.
Jail would be worth it, Tawny muttered.
Then think about Uncle Zed and Granny, Harper said. You need me to drive you home?
Hell no, I'm not drunk, barely even buzzed,
Tawny protested. Daisy rushed across the parking lot and pushed Tawny backward. Harper got between them and glared down at the woman.
Touch her again, and I'll mop up this parking lot with you, woman.
Daisy backed off, and Tawny got into her little sports car, fired it up, and squealed the tires on the way out of the parking lot. Harper crawled into her truck, locked the doors, removed her shirt, and held it against the cut on her chin while she drove south toward the lake with one hand on the steering wheel. The wound was still seeping and had begun to sting like hell by the time she parked in front of her cabin. She got out to find Tawny waiting on her porch, and Dana and Brooke just coming up from the lake's edge. She started to walk right past all of them, but Tawny popped her hands on her hips and glared at Harper.
You are welcome, by the way, she said.
For what? I can take care of myself. I don't need you to fight my battles, Harper said. The feeling was coming back in her chin, and it stung like a son of a gun.
Good Lord, what happened? Dana asked.
They both started talking at once, each blaming the other one for ruining the whole evening. Finally, Dana clapped her hands, and they both turned to look at her.
Do you need some help getting that cleaned up, Harper? Is it deep enough that we should take you to the emergency room or the urgent care for stitches?
I'm fine. All of you just go away and leave me alone, Harper answered.
Fine. Next time I'll let a crazy bitch carve her initials in your face.
Tawny stormed off toward her cabin.
I'd love to have a sister, and here y'all are acting like this.
Brooke took off at a jog toward the house.
Sure you don't want me to help with that? Dana asked again.
I told you to leave. Harper went inside and slammed the door. She didn't even make it to the bathroom before someone knocked on her door. Expecting it to be Tawny arguing some more, she slung it open and said,
Get off my porch!
Good God, Harper, Wyatt gasped. What happened? Car wreck?
I thought you were Tawny, she blushed.
It was a sister wreck. I'm fine.
So Tawny did this?
Wyatt brushed past her into the cabin and beat her to the bathroom, where he got out peroxide and butterfly strips.
You've ruined a pretty nice shirt, and you've got blood all over your jeans.
Cold water will take it out. Move over so I can get this cleaned up. She shoved at him, the action only serving to remind her that even a tall woman like her couldn't budge him an inch. He put the lid down on the toilet.
Sit down and I'll do it for you. And again, which of your sisters did this?
She sat down, suddenly aware that she was only wearing a bra on top.
Not Tawny. This girl Daisy at the bar. She tried to make me give up my stool. She wanted to save it for her sister. I protested, so she broke a beer bottle and tried to convince me otherwise. And then Tawny stepped in to rescue me.
Hell's bells, Wyatt. I've been taking care of myself for 10 years. I don't need her help.
So what does the other woman look like now? Hold your head up.
He tucked a washcloth under her chin and gently poured peroxide into the wound. When it stopped bubbling, he wiped it dry and applied antibiotic ointment and 3 strips to hold it together.
She'll be limping for a week, and all the makeup in the world won't cover up those 2 black eyes. Tawny pecks a mean right hook when she's mad. I bet Daisy don't think she's nearly as mean right now as she was this morning, Harper said.
So this all happened in a bar. Are you drunk?
On half a beer? God, no. I went there to dance, drink a beer or two, and blow off some steam, not get drunk and brawl. She caused it, I didn't. And I didn't even know Tawny was there. Didn't know that she even went to cheap little bars. Figured she'd only be interested in swanky clubs, Harper answered. Wyatt stepped back and tipped her chin up.
Don't get that wet for a few days and it should heal up pretty good.
Thank you, Dr. Simpson, but I know how to take care of barroom wounds, she said, her voice only slightly elevated from the effect that he created when he touched her face.
I should go now.
Wyatt's warm breath caressed that soft spot right under her ear, and the temperature in the room jacked up several degrees. Thanks again, she whispered.
Anytime. I'm just glad it wasn't one of your sisters that sliced you open.
He moved out of the bathroom. Why does it matter who did it? She asked.
Sisters shouldn't act like that. Get some rest.
She raised her voice as he crossed the room. 2 aspirin and call you in the morning if I'm not better. He gave her a thumbs up and gently closed the door behind him. She removed her bra, kicked off her boots, and slid her skinny jeans down over her well-rounded hips. Once she was completely naked, she turned on the water in the old clawfoot tub and crawled into it. Her long legs reached all the way to the end, and when the water was deep enough, she turned the faucets off with her toes. She only meant to rest her eyes for a few seconds, but when she awoke, the water was cold, her arms were asleep, and the cut on her chin was throbbing. She quickly stood up and grabbed a terry robe, wrapped it around her body, and checked her reflection in the mirror. The strips were holding, and there was no blood. That's good, she muttered as she padded barefoot across the floor to her bed. She didn't bother taking off the robe, but curled up on top of the bedspread and pulled the edge up over her feet. In seconds, she was asleep, dreaming of playing chase with a little blonde-haired girl in a field of bright Texas blue bonnets. The child wore a pure white sundress. Her blue eyes were the same color as the flowers. The alarm clock jerked Harper out of the dream and back into reality. No matter how tightly she shut her eyes, she couldn't bring back the peace that she felt when she was out there in the middle of that blue bonnet field. With a sigh, she threw her legs over the edge of the bed, turned off the noisy alarm, and went back to the bathroom to check her wound. It looked fine, even if it did throb with every heartbeat. She quickly dressed in jeans and a t-shirt and hurried out across the gravel lot toward the cafe. Zed must have seen her coming, because he already had a mug of coffee sitting on the table for her. She picked it up and warmed her hands before taking the first sip. "I should have put on a jacket. Morning breeze is a little nippy," she said.
"We'll be until Easter is over within a couple of weeks. After that, we'll be praying for some of this cool wind,"
he said.
"What happened to your chin?"
Between sips of coffee, she told him the story. "Guess some sisters are almighty protective of each other's rights to a bar stool, and others get into their sister's business uninvited."
"What demons are you chasing, child?"
he asked, his tone deepening. "What makes you think I've got any demons?" Harper pushed the chair back and brought the coffee pot to refill both their cups.
"Plain as the nose on a pig's face. What happened that last summer you came here to stay for a month? You ain't been the same since. Your granny was plenty worried about you when you ran away from that boarding school. You didn't get in touch with nobody either. Why, she didn't hear from you until you was past 18,
he said. "Life happened. And believe me, Granny was the only one worried about me," she said in a flat tone.
"I was worried right along with her. So tell me about it."
Granny used to say that the person who stirs the shit pile has to lick the spoon. "I'm not in the mood for that this morning." She laid a hand on his bony arm.
"I'm here if you ever want to get it off your chest."
Zed pushed up out of the chair and began to clear the table.
"What is said in my kitchen stays in my kitchen, and that's the God's honest truth."
As she and Brooke entered the cafe before daylight, Dana held the door for the young honeymooners, who were coming out of their cabin for the first time since they arrived. They were all smiles, holding hands and looking deeply into each other's eyes. Hopefully, 5 years down the road, the young lady wouldn't be throwing him out for cheating on her, like what happened to some people.
"Thank you," the groom said. "It's going to be a beautiful Sunday. Kayla and I are going to have breakfast and then take a blanket to the edge of the lake and watch the sunrise."
"This place is fabulous," Kayla said. "We've agreed that we'll come back here every year on our anniversary."
Harper looked up from the cash register and smiled. "We'll look forward to having you. We're serving buffet style this morning, so y'all go on and help yourselves. What can I get you to drink?"
"Orange juice and hot chocolate," Kayla said.
"Same for me."
The new groom ushered her to the buffet with his hand on her back. "Oh, to be in love," Dana whispered to Harper as she went for coffee. "How's your chin? What happened anyway?"
"I had an argument with a busted beer bottle," she answered.
"You got so drunk that you fell on a beer bottle? From the way you and Tawny squared off, I got the impression that she helped you somehow."
"No, I was not drunk, and I did not fall."
Brooke headed to the kitchen.
"I'm making myself some green tea with a slice of lemon. Y'all want some?"
"Not me," Dana answered.
"No, but I'll make it for you, princess," Harper said.
"A princess does not spend her weekends in a sweatshop," Brooke grumbled.
Tawny caught the last sentence as she made her way from the door to the coffee machine.
"You won't fuss next Friday when you get your paycheck for all that hard work. I'll take you to the mall Friday night, if your mama don't care, and you can blow it all at Victoria's Secret."
Brooke shook her head.
"Not me. I might blow it all at a shoe store or a makeup place, but not for underbridges. No one can see what's under my clothing. Can I bring Cassidy with me?"
"I got no problem with that if Flora doesn't care. Where is that child? According to the payroll, she's been helping out on weekends."
Brooke motioned for Tawny to follow her to the buffet.
"I took her place. She's got a job babysitting every Saturday and Sunday."
Tawny stopped at the cash register and looked up at Harper's chin.
You didn't bleed to death after all.
Disappointed? Harper shot back.
Maybe a little,
Tawny said curtly. Trouble followed the Clancy girls like a homeless hound dog, but it found their middle sister a lot more often than it did Tawny. In a few minutes, the whole place was filled with fishermen, and the banter started to fly again. Only that morning, it was about which bait was best for catfish. Spinners, worms, minnows, or stink bait.
If they're biting, bologna or bubble gum works as good as anything,
Wyatt added his opinion.
If they ain't biting, then it don't matter what you use for bait.
You could try singing to them. Harper filled his cup for the third time.
That'd scare them right up into the bank for sure,
he chuckled. Dana could almost see the electricity between Harper and Wyatt. Whatever it was about, his singing was an inside joke from long ago. Flora came in about that time, filled a plate, and sat down at Brooke and Dana's table.
I love Sunday buffet. This is the one thing I'm going to miss when I retire at the end of summer. So you ready to go to work?
She glanced over at Brooke. Not much taller than Brooke, Flora had short gray hair, bright blue eyes, and at least three chins. She was as wide as she was tall, and bustled around with the energy of a 16-year-old.
Yes, ma'am. I live to fold towels and wash bedding, Brooke quipped.
Regular little smarty pants you got there, Dana.
A fourth chin popped out as she smiled and her eyes twinkled.
What can I say? She's Annie Clancy's great-granddaughter, Dana shrugged.
That about covers it.
Flora set to eating a tall stack of pancakes covered in warm maple syrup.
I hear that you and my granddaughter are in the same classes at school.
She showed me around, and we're going to be friends, Brooke said.
Glad to hear it. Kids need good friends, Flora said.
Dana left Brooke in Flora's care and opened the store. She made coffee, swept up a couple dozen dead crickets, and then picked up a dusting rag and gave the shelves a quick going over. She wasn't expecting many customers that day, because the folks in the cabins would all check out by 11 o'clock. But just as the sun rose up over the horizon, people started to come in to buy bait, soft drinks, and beer, and even wiped out her stock of bologna and bread. Evidently, not all folks were worried about their eternal souls. By mid-morning, she'd rung up more sales than she had since she'd been there. Maybe their church was on the lake instead of a building with poor air conditioning and a preacher sending them to hell if they didn't get right with the Lord. She'd finished checking out a teenage boy and his grandfather and was about to get herself a cold root beer when Wyatt popped into the store.
Uh-oh, $40 for gas, and I'm going to get an orange soda pop.
He put the can of soda on the counter. Dana made change for the $50 bill he'd handed her.
Thanks. You are Dana, the oldest sister, right?
He continued.
We'll be seeing lots of each other this summer. I'm booked for every weekend between now and August.
Good to know. I barely remember you from back when Harper was 16. You were about the same age, right?
Yes, ma'am, we were.
He gathered up his things.
Have a nice day,
he said as he shut the door behind him. Tawny had spent the entire morning checking people out of their rooms and tallying up all the receipts. She'd called Flora out in the laundry building to tell her that the honeymoon couple had checked out with 2 minutes to spare, so she and Brooke could clean the last room of the day. She was about to head over to the cafe when Wyatt Simpson pulled his truck and boat up in front of her cabin. He leaned out the window of his truck and raised his voice.
Hey, I just realized that I left my electric razor in the bathroom of my cabin. You reckon you could let me run back inside and get it? If the maid's already cleaned the room, I'll be very careful.
No problem. I'll get the key and meet you there, she said.
He was on the porch when she arrived. She unlocked the door with the old-fashioned key hanging on a big plastic fob with the number of the cabin printed on it. He followed her inside, got his razor, and was back out in seconds.
Thanks, Tawny. I just got this one a week ago, and I'd hate to have to buy another one.
He tipped his straw hat toward her.
Now, I'd better get on out of here and not take up any more room. There'll be a big rush at noon. Everyone in these parts knows about Zed's Sunday Blue Plate special.
Which is?
Tawny asked as she locked the door.
Chicken and dressing and all the fixings. I'd like to stay, but I've got to get home.
He grinned.
I remember that you and your grandpa stayed in the number one cabin and he played the harmonica in the evenings, she said.
That's right. He loved music. See you next Thursday. I've got a crew of four coming to stay over until Sunday. We're already on the books,
he said. As he drove away, Tawny realized she was late for the lunch crowd, so she rushed over to the cafe. She'd barely made it inside the door when Harper handed her two pitchers full of tea and said,
Where have you been? You're supposed to help out with the cash register during lunch hour.
Talking to your crush from 10 years ago?
Harper shot a dirty look her way. You can help pour tea until someone needs to be rung up. Tawny shook her head.
This is not my job.
Harper backed up. You can either help me out, or I'll call Flora or Brooke to do it, and you can go to the laundry room. We're all in this together, whether we like it or not.
I'm doing this for Uncle Zed, not you. These are sticky and need washing. I'll use a couple of new ones for refills.
Tawny set the pitchers down, pasted on a beautiful smile, and started making her way from table to table. Everyone had something kind to say about her grandmother, so it turned out not so bad. The line waiting outside stretched around the cafe and halfway to the front door of the store. Harper picked up the pitchers, carried them to the kitchen, and sank them in a sink full of hot, soapy water. Zed's face appeared in the window.
I've got an extra pumpkin pie put aside for y'all girls in Florida to share when the rush is over.
You are a sweetheart, Uncle Zed,
she said, and then stuck her tongue out at Harper. Harper reached out and slid a fistful of soap down her younger sister's tongue. Tawny spit and sputtered, grabbed a paper towel to get the soap out of her mouth, and then slapped Harper on the upper arm.
That was downright mean. Be careful. Last person who thought they could fight with me has a package of frozen peas on her eyes.
Don't mess with me. I'm not in the mood for it, Harper said.
You haven't been any fun since we were last here. Loosen up, sister. We've come home.
Tawny filled two clean pitchers with tea from the huge container and went back to her second job.
Home. Do you really believe that?
The voice in her head asked.
It's the one place that I've always felt like I could be myself. Granny never told me that she was ashamed of me, or that she wished she'd never had me, Tawny thought.
Chapter 6 Harper propped her feet encased only in socks on the porch railing and leaned back in her chair that Thursday evening. March 22nd, that's what the calendar said, which meant they'd been there a whole week. The evenings had gotten a little warmer as they all settled into their routines more firmly. Until summer, according to Zed, the main part of their business would be on the weekends. In some ways, it seemed like the three of them had always lived at the tiny little resort. In others, she wondered why she was wasting her life in a place like this. As usual, she knew that Wyatt wasn't far away long before he spoke. There was that little lilt in her heart like it floated. He handed her an icy cold beer in a can, and she held it against her forehead a couple of seconds.
So, how's your week been?
Hours dragged some through the days, but the week went by pretty fast. He sat down on the porch step.
How's the chin healing?
I took the strips off this morning. Don't look like it's going to scar. She popped the tab on the cab and quickly sucked the foam off before it could run down the sides. I'm usually a whiskey girl, but this tastes really good. Maybe she only liked beer when she drank it with Wyatt.
I always bring a case of cold ones for the crew. Room, food, beer on the first night they arrive, and 3 days of fishing for 4 customers at one low, low price.
He grinned. Sounds like you should be in advertising. She set the beer on the porch rail and clapped her hands dramatically.
But wait, if you book your trip now, Wyatt will throw in a special made in a third world country cooler to keep your catch in until you get home.
He chuckled and put up a palm.
But wait, if you book 2 trips, Wyatt will provide an honest-to-God old-time fish fry at the edge of the lake. Fish, hush puppies, beer, and fried potatoes.
That sounds pretty good. Where do I sign up?
The last time she'd laughed with any sincerity had been when they were together all those years ago.
Oh, my God,
Tawny said loudly as she passed by the porch on the way to her cabin.
I'm hearing things. Harper just laughed. I didn't know she could do that anymore.
Smartass, Harper grinned.
And a smile to boot. Run, Wyatt, run. The world is coming to an end. I think I see a meteorite.
Tawny threw a hand up in a theatrical gesture as if shading her eyes against the imaginary ball of fire coming toward them.
Y'all are crazier than you were when we were all kids,
he laughed.
Want a beer, Tawny?
He held up a plastic ring with three still attached.
Don't mind if I do. Thank you, Wyatt.
A stab of jealousy pricked Harper in the heart when Tawny sat down beside Wyatt on the top step. But it disappeared when he hopped up and said,
Wait, I see my first truckload of guys arriving, so I'd better get on down there. We've got a poker game in my cabin planned. See y'all around.
Unaffected, Tawny opened her beer and took a long gulp.
I called Mother after work tonight.
And?
She says that if we come home and do something important with our lives, she'll forgive us, Tawny said.
You going home?
Nope. I told her that it's not a matter of her forgiving us, but of us forgiving her. You ready to tell me what it was that got you disowned? What in the devil did you do to survive? There's no way anyone would let you bartend at that age. How did you live from the time you were 16 until now?
Tawny asked.
Nope. I am not ready to tell you that story.
I will tell you this, though. For about 6 months, I worked at an animal shelter. Got a free room at the back of it for taking the night shift. Anyway, one night this man left a whole litter of Doberman pups on the doorstep. I had to get up every 2 hours all night to feed those critters. Didn't lose a single one of them.
Harper smiled at the memory. And that has to do with what?
Tawny asked. Patience. Harper took the final sip of her beer. I'm getting to that part. When I asked the manager lady about it, she said that Dobermans sometimes just don't have the right mother instinct. The pups start to bother the mom with their incessant whining and wanting to eat all the time, so she retaliates by biting them or pushing them away to starve.
I think I'm getting your point, Tawny said.
Yep, our mother is a Doberman. She had us because Daddy wanted kids to ease his guilt over not claiming Dana. She doesn't have any mother instinct. She left us with nannies and babysitters and only brought us out when we were all pretty and clean for family pictures. She is what she is, Harper said. Tawny finished her beer and set the empty can on the porch.
Have you forgiven her for what she said and did to you? It was awful at the house after you left. I begged them to let me move here and live with Granny.
Harper inhaled so deep that her lungs hurt and then let it out slowly. I forgave her a long time ago. She's not worth the pain and suffering. I just hope that I got Granny Annie's big heart when it comes to children and not hers, Harper answered. Tawny scooted over and braced her back against the porch post.
You think you'll ever have kids? You willing to take that kind of chance?
Harper shrugged. Are you?
I like kids, so maybe if the right man came along,
Tawny answered.
What happened to all those puppies?
I didn't leave that job until I'd found a good home for each of them, Harper nodded.
That's good,
Tawny said.
Maybe we should send Mama a picture of the two of us hugging a Doberman.
Wouldn't do a bit of good. She's never had to admit that she was wrong. Daddy adored her and let her run the place and us. She'd just wonder why in the hell we were sending her a picture of us with a dog, Harper chuckled.
Probably so. Good night.
Tawny groaned when she got to her feet.
Too many hours sitting in front of a computer, but I think I'm getting this business figured out.
Try standing on your feet all day, Harper said.
No thanks. I'll take kinks over aching arches.
When Brooke was a little girl, she and Dana had watched animated cartoons, and then slowly they'd graduated to more mature movies and even television series on either Friday or Saturday nights. Brooke's newest love was MacGyver, a remake of an older show that now had 2 seasons on DVDs, so they usually ended the week by watching it over and over. But that night she'd gone off to the mall with Tawny, and Dana felt the emptiness as she sat on the grass at the edge of the lake. Down around Houston, when someone mentioned a beach, visions of sand, seagulls, and water all the way to the horizon came to mind. But in north central Texas, the image changed to green grass, ducks and lights in the summer homes on the other side of the lake.
Get used to it. That's why you have sisters. The kid grows up and leaves home, and you'd have no one if it weren't for your sisters.
The voice sounded a lot like her grandmother's, You didn't have sisters or brothers, Granny? Dana argued. Harper sat down a few feet from her. Who are you talking to?
You startled me, Dana said.
What are you doing in here? I figured you'd be getting into trouble in that bar up the road. Didn't feel like it tonight. Do you always talk to yourself, or do you have a feller hiding up in the trees? Harper asked. We should have brought marshmallows.
I remember when we used to do that when you girls were with us in the summertime.
Zed appeared out of the darkness from the other direction.
We'd start us up a fire down here on the edge of the water and have hot dogs and them things with graham crackers for dessert.
They were s'mores. Roasted marshmallow crammed between two graham crackers along with a piece of chocolate candy bar. Pull up a chair or a piece of the grass and join us, Uncle Zed. Harper pointed to the area between them. He eased down a couple of feet from Harper.
That's right. Me and Annie built us up a bonfire and made them things a few times. But it wasn't the same when you girls weren't here with us. I'm missing her real bad tonight. The walls in my room got to closing in on me, so I came out for a walk. She loved it when the trees started getting leaves and folks started filling up the summer places.
My favorite memories of her are in the store, Dana said. She kept me while Mama went to school to get her cosmetology license, and then afterward while Mama worked. Did you ever know Grandpa? Harper glanced over at Dana. No, he was already gone when I was born, Dana answered. They sat in silence for 10 minutes, and then Zed slowly rose to his feet and started back up the trail toward Annie's place. You okay? Harper called out before he disappeared.
I'm better. It helped just to sit with y'all a spell. I can feel her presence in among us when you girls are all together, especially when you ain't bickering.
See, Harper whispered. He's not as sad when we try to get along.
Dana rose to her feet. I've got a movie and some popcorn if you want to join me in the house. Tawny said she'd bring Brooke home by 11. Think we could stand each other for 2 hours without arguing? Uncle Zed isn't going to be there, you know. I'm willing to give it a try if you are, Dana answered. What movie you got? Harper gracefully went from sitting cross-legged to a standing position. Lots of them. You can even choose. She never thought she'd feel that way, but time with Harper beat being totally alone for the next 3 hours. The path from the lake to the house wasn't far, but neither of them said anything. Dana stepped inside the house with Harper right behind her and stopped in the middle of the living room. It seems like she should be coming out of the kitchen with a pan of brownies in her hand for us to eat while we play some board game, Harper said. Dana laid a hand on Harper's shoulder.
I feel the same way, and I've been living in this house more than a week.
If I was into hocus-pocus stuff, I'd say her spirit isn't happy and is trying to tell us something. Is the Ouija board still somewhere in the house? Harper flopped down on the sofa. That thing scared the bejesus right out of me. If it's under the bed or in the hall closet, we should take it down to the lake and toss it into the water.
Haven't seen it, thank goodness. It scared me, too. Want a beer or a glass of sweet tea?
Tea, please. Why wouldn't she be happy? We're all here and, with the help of Uncle Zed, keeping the place going. We've done pretty good this past week, in my opinion, Harper said.
Dana brought in 2 tall glasses of tea and set them on the coffee table.
Considering that it's us, we've probably broken the record for doing good. Popcorn or trail mix?
Harper picked up a glass and took a sip.
Trail mix, if it's what you made when we were here last time. The kind with M&Ms in it? Brooke's favorite. I make it at least once a month, Dana yelled from the kitchen.
She took a bowlful to the living room and opened the hall closet where she'd stored the collection of movies that she'd brought with her. When she turned around, Harper was right behind her.
Sweet Lord, she gasped.
What?
Dana asked. That's a lot of movies. You should put them in the store and rent them out to the folks who stay in the cabins.
Harper ran her finger down the rows and rows, arranged alphabetically by the first letter in the title.
Oh, no. This is my and Brooke's private collection. We couldn't get cable out in the barn, so I bought movies.
She shook her head the whole time she was talking.
Barn? You lived in a barn? I thought you lived on a big fancy horse ranch.
Harper spun around to face her.
I lived on a horse ranch in a small apartment attached to the stables. It had a living room and bedroom combination, a small galley kitchen and a bathroom. It was free, so I didn't complain, but we didn't get cable. Brooke hasn't suffered from it. Dana ran her finger across the DVDs.
Hot pursuit! Brooke yelled as she and Tawny came through the back door. I thought y'all were out until 11 o'clock, Dana said. We got bored and thought about going to a movie, but I wasn't spending my hard-earned money for that when we got better food and more comfortable chairs at home.
Brooke removed her jacket and set two bags on the floor.
I found a pair of jeans on a half-price rack and two shirts 75% off.
She's a shrewd shopper, Tawny glanced over at Harper.
What are you doing here? Is that Dana's trail mix?
Yes, it is, and I'm here to watch a movie, Harper answered.
So is Aunt Tawny! Yay!
Brooke clapped her hands.
We can all watch it together. Y'all seen Hot Pursuit?
Harper and Tawny both shook their heads.
Well, you're gonna love it.
Brooke grabbed a pillow and a throw from the sofa and tossed them on the floor.
This is my spot. Y'all can have the sofa and the recliner.
There were two good things about watching a comedy. No one had to talk, and they felt good when it ended. As soon as the credits began to roll, Harper carried the glasses and Tawny's beer bottle to the kitchen, thanked Dana for the evening, and left by way of the back door. Dana watched her leave and wondered again what had changed Harper from that fun-loving teenager into a person with so many demons.
That was fun, Tawny said. We'll have to make it a Friday night date,
Brooke yawned.
Movies and popcorn at our house.
We'll see. Thanks for loaning me your daughter and for the movie and trail mix, Tawny said.
And the beer? Hey, Mama, when can I have a beer on movie night?
Brooke asked. When you are 40 and not a day earlier, Dana chuckled.
She's not ever going to let me grow up,
Brooke groaned. Tawny gave Brooke a quick hug on her way out the door.
Don't get in a rush to do that, kiddo. It's not all it's cracked up to be. Good night.
Surprisingly, almost shockingly, they'd managed to spend a couple of hours in one another's presence without insults bouncing off the walls, and Uncle Zed wasn't even there. Later, Harper was sitting on her porch when Tawny passed by, so she stopped and sat down on the step.
You remind me of that cop in the movie, Harper said.
In looks or in actions?
Both,
Harper told her.
Mother was right. You are the pretty one. She said that?
Tawny wasn't sure she'd heard right.
Said that God made you pretty to make up for the fact that you were a girl. Daddy wanted a son so bad, but she said she wouldn't do that to her body a third time for any man on the face of the earth, and that he was cursed for having a bastard to begin with.
Tawny let it soak in for a little while.
Guess it's not much of a compliment after all, is it?
Better than being the tall, gangly daughter that looked like Granny Annie. Too big to ever be pretty, Harper said.
Looking like Granny is not a bad thing, is it?
Tawny asked.
It seemed like it was at the time. If she said it now, I'd thank her,
Harper smiled.
For a couple of privileged kids, we sure got a lot of baggage, don't we?
Tawny said.
Seems like Dana has less than we do, and our father wouldn't even claim her.
Of course, he wouldn't stand up to Mother for us either.
Crazy, ain't it?
Tawny yawned.
Tomorrow comes around pretty early. I'm going to bed.
Me too. Harper stood up and stretched with her hands over her head. Tawny had always envied Harper for her height and her brown eyes. She was anything but an ugly duckling. Tawny was suddenly sorry that their mother had made her feel like that. But then Retha had never considered anyone else's feelings, except maybe her husband's, and then only if it suited her mood and her need for his paycheck. She'd always been his trophy wife, with her gorgeous blonde hair and big blue eyes.
I wonder if he ever had a mistress,
Tawny mused as she passed cabin after cabin.
If he did, he better hope his wife don't find out about it,
a voice said from the porch of cabin number 6. The masculine voice startled her. She stopped in her tracks and tried to remember who was renting that particular unit. Finally, the face that went with that deep drawl materialized.
Evening, Mr. Richmond, she said.
That makes me sound like an old man. I'm just Tawny, not Mr. Richmond.
He chuckled.
But it is a right nice evening, ain't it?
He leaned forward and rested his hands on the porch railing. Tawny remembered him checking in, but it was a blur with all she had to do that day. Now she could see that his clear blue eyes were rimmed with heavy black lashes, and his smile lit up the whole porch.
Yes, it is. Supposed to be in the 80s tomorrow. Good fishing weather, Tawny said.
I don't fish. I'm here because my wife threw me out.
Tawny was not a sounding board for domestic fights, but he reminded her so much of her last boyfriend that she sat down on his porch.
Did you deserve it?
Oh, yeah. I didn't want to marry her at all, but she was pregnant, and my daddy is the preacher in a little church up in Lindale.
Why are you telling me this? Tawny asked.
Just need to bare my soul to a stranger who don't give a damn what I did,
he said.
I was sitting here praying to God to give me a sign about what I'm supposed to do come Sunday morning, and you walked by. I figured you might be my sign.
God wouldn't send me to be anyone's sign, Tawny laughed.
My girlfriend's also a preacher's daughter, and I had this big fight and I got drunk,
he said.
So I wound up in bed with another preacher's daughter for a whole weekend. My girlfriend and I made up the next week, but...
He let the sentence trail off.
But then the other preacher's daughter turned out pregnant, right?
We shouldn't have been drinking or having sex, but things happen.
He shrugged.
It was a shotgun wedding, and then she had a miscarriage at 2 months.
Life ain't fair, is it? Tawny said.
My girlfriend and I were still in love. You can guess the rest. My wife's religion does not believe in divorce. My parents don't believe in it either, even though our church doesn't send folks to hell for it.
Twisted up mess, if you ask me. How old are you? Tawny asked.
22. Been married 6 months.
Sounds like you've got a lot of soul searching to do in the next couple of days.
He rubbed a hand across his chin.
If you were my wife, what would you do?
I'd never have married you to begin with, but since she did, I imagine I'd shoot you for cheating on me, she answered.
And if you were the woman I've loved since I was in the third grade?
I hope I would have had enough sense to back off until you were a free man.
Hope?
He asked.
I can't judge. I haven't walked a mile in either of those women's shoes. Maybe your wife loved someone else, too. But she doesn't know how to get out of this horrible marriage, and she's putting the job on you. You should talk to her and listen to what she has to say, just the two of you.
Maybe you should practice what you are preaching.
There was Granny Annie's voice in her head again.
You should try paying attention to Zed and your sisters like you do to strangers.
Thanks for listening to me. You might have been my sign after all. I'll probably check out early tomorrow morning and go back across the river. See if I can get this straightened out,
he said.
Sure thing.
As she covered the distance to her own little cabin, Tawny could hear all kinds of night insects and animals who'd come out to play under the light of the moon. When she was inside, she slid down the back of the door and wrapped her hands around her knees.
Granny, I've done some really stupid things that I don't want to tell Dana and Harper about. They've never been on probation or made the bad choices that I have. I just can't tell them. Don't leave me. I need to hear your voice sometimes.
She cocked her head to the side, but all she heard was wind rattling through the trees. Chapter 7. For the second night in a row, Harper was restless. When not even an evening of mindless drinking and dancing or picking up a sexy cowboy for a one-night motel fling sounded good, she considered taking her temperature to see if she was sick. She paced around the cabin a few times and finally pulled an old gray sweatshirt over her head and went outside. She didn't even slow down at the porch but kept walking, following the trail by moonlight to a little cove in the bend of the lake where she couldn't even see the cabins. She went right to a big flat rock jutting out at the shore. It was one of Granny Annie's favorite places to take the girls fishing in the summer. Sometimes they'd talk, but most of the time, they just enjoyed the quiet. If they were lucky, they'd take home a whole string of fish to fry. The memories calmed her, right up until the tiny hairs on the back of her neck started to prickle, and Wyatt walked out of the shadows.
He sat down beside her and covered her hand with his. Peace surrounded her like a warm blanket on a cold Texas night.
The guys are having a die-hard marathon tonight in one of the cabins. I couldn't sit still and watch the third one, so I told them I was going for a walk,
he explained.
I figured you'd be out dancing the leather off your boots.
I might have learned my lesson with that business last week, she answered. Suddenly, the sweatshirt was too warm despite the chilly night breeze coming off the water. Not one of the men that she'd used to get Wyatt Simpson off her mind had ever caused the kind of heat waves he did simply by touching her hand. What do you do when you're not fishing?
Get my stuff ready for another fishing trip. What about you? What did you do before you came here?
He gently squeezed her hand.
They say you never forget your first love. I think they might be right.
Is that a pickup line?
Nope.
He lowered his voice to a whisper.
I have not been a saint, believe me. But no one ever quite measured up to the feelings that I had with you. I don't know where you are in your life right now, but I just wanted you to know that.
Thank you, she muttered. She'd been flattered by the best of smooth-talking men, but none of their lines had ever made her heart skip a couple of beats. I guess I could say, back atcha, but a lot of water has run under that bridge since we were kids. I'm not even sure there's a bridge anymore.
Ever hear that old song called One Wing in the Fire?
He smiled again.
It comes to mind when I think of us. Maybe we are angels with no halos and one wing is in the fire.
Honey, nobody ever called me an angel, she laughed. I think maybe strawberry wine applies to us more. Heard it?
Oh, yeah.
He nodded.
And I agree with you. We did find love growing wild on the banks of the lake, didn't we?
Her heart twisted up like a pretzel the way it always did when she let herself go back to that place. She pulled her hand free. One bittersweet young love had brought such pain into her life. The kind that nothing, not alcohol, wanton sex, or even friendship could erase. And she'd tried all three. We did, she finally nodded. It was a sweet summer, Wyatt.
Would you go to dinner with me sometime?
He blurted out. You think it's wise for us to go down that path?
Won't know unless we give it a try.
He slipped an arm around her shoulders and brushed a sweet kiss across her cheek.
I'm still every bit as attracted to you as I was then. I'd like to see what happens if we give things a go as adults.
She couldn't go there. Not after giving away their child. Not after the guilt trips, and certainly not at this time of year, around her daughter's birthday.
Friday night. Dinner and maybe a walk on the edge of the lake,
he pressed. I can't, Wyatt, I just can't.
Okay, then. How about just sitting on your porch and watching the lightning bugs? We don't even have to talk if you don't want to,
he asked. The lightning bugs are pretty. She should run from him, not cave in. But she wanted to be near him and hear his voice. Her chest tightened like it had a decade ago when she thought she'd never see him again. Talk about life being complicated.
Then it's a date. I'll be here with a bag of barbecue chips and a six-pack of root beer. Those are still your favorites, right?
Yes, they are, she answered. He remembered. After all these years, he remembered her favorite snacks.
Now I should be going. Can I walk you back to your cabin?
He asked. I think I'll just sit here a little longer, she said.
See you tomorrow at breakfast, then.
He hugged her to his side, but didn't kiss her again. Tawny pulled a chair up to the table in the cafe where Harper and Zed were already seated on Sunday afternoon.
Either of y'all ever hear Granny Annie's voice in your head?
All the time,
Zed nodded.
And I talk to her, too. Tell her everything that I can remember before I go to bed at night. Makes me feel good. Like she's still here. Why are you asking?
What's happening in here?
Brooke asked as she popped inside the door.
Flora sent me for takeout cups of iced tea.
We were talking about whether any of us hear Granny Annie's voice in our heads, Harper answered. Dana came in through the kitchen. Back door was open, so I didn't walk all the way around to the front. I heard Granny's voice all the time before she died. If I was going to mess up, she'd be there telling me what to do.
I love it when it happens, Dana answered.
Harper, did you ever hear Dad's voice after he died?
Tawny asked. She shook her head. I did at the funeral, though.
Really?
Tawny asked. I came in late, sat on the back pew of the church, and left. I didn't walk past the casket, Harper said softly.
I was also at your high school graduation.
Got any regrets about not letting anyone know about that?
Zed asked. Not a single one, Harper answered. I visit his grave when I'm in the area. Sometimes, if I have the money, I bring flowers. Zed laid a hand on her arm.
That's a good thing that you do, child.
You ever wish Granny Annie had a grave?
Tawny's eyes filled with tears at the thought of Harper being that close, and no one had even acknowledged her presence. She would have felt so alone, much like Tawny did when her mother turned her back on her.
I'd like to visit her, but then again, if I go to the lake and sit on that big rock, well, that's as good as a grave,
Zed said with a nod.
I take her ashes with me some nights just so she'll be close to me.
What are they in, Uncle Zed? Harper asked.
A little wooden box that looks a lot like a cigar box. I keep them on my dresser, and that way she's not far from me,
he answered. Brooke carried two big cups of tea across the floor.
I hear her voice in my head, too. I was wishing I was old enough to date that sexy boy at school the other day, and Granny Annie popped into my head and said, "That boy ain't nothing but trouble." And I wanted to argue with her, but the bell rang.
She backed out of the cafe and the door slammed behind her.
I wish Granny would have given me that warning,
Tawny said.
Why?
Harper asked.
Long story, I'm not sure I want to tell.
Well, then let's make Harper tell us the story about what happened down at the lake last night.
Zed's old eyes glittered in amusement. Tawny jerked her head around to stare at her sister.
You went to the lake and didn't even invite us?
I damn sure didn't want you or Dana to be there with me, Harper said. I wanted peace and quiet, not another argument with y'all.
Maybe we should be visiting about that boy that you talked to about his problems, Miss Tawny,
Zed grinned.
It was nothing,
Tawny protested, but the way they were all staring said that they didn't believe her.
Okay, it was something, but it wasn't anything between us. He just needed a stranger to talk to, and I was there.
She went on to tell them what had happened with Tony Richmond and exactly what she told him.
Good advice, Dana said with a nod.
Tawny could hardly believe that her older sister had said something nice about her. She wanted to ask her to repeat it so that she'd know for a fact she'd heard right. But before she could say a word, Zed spoke up.
Now's your turn.
Zed turned to Harper. I went to the big rock that was Granny's favorite spot. While I was there, Wyatt came by. He asked me out and I turned him down, she said bluntly.
There was something between you and Wyatt way back when y'all were teenagers. Why wouldn't you go out with him now?
Tawny asked. I'm not ready to rekindle that fire. I may not ever be, Harper said. Besides, this is my life, not yours.
It was all your fault that Mother wouldn't let me come visit anymore,
Tawny sighed loudly.
She told me that Granny Annie was too old to put up with me, and that Dana was grown and had a job so she couldn't come.
Hey, don't blame me for what Mother decided. Harper's tone went cold. Zed's expression turned from happy to sad in an instant.
It broke your Granny Annie's heart when you girls couldn't come back. She looked forward to that month all year and planned for it like a little girl does for her birthday party.
Harper pushed her chair back and carried her tea glass to the kitchen.
If it's okay with you, Uncle Zed, I'm going to my cabin for a short nap.
Her voice cracked.
Sure thing. Sleep as long as you can,
Zed said.
Don't set an alarm. If you aren't awake, Tawny can help out. We won't have much of a supper rush anyway, since everyone has checked out of their cabins.
Thank you. Harper escaped, but Tawny saw her wipe her cheeks as she hurried to her cabin. After the cafe was cleaned up that evening, Zed went to his little efficiency apartment in the back of the store. He poured himself a glass of elderberry wine from the last bottle he and Annie had made the year before, and then he put a DVD of the first season of The Golden Girls into the player. He sat down in his recliner, picked up the remote, and laid his hand on the arm of the matching chair right beside his.
We had us a good day, Annie. Didn't have a spoonful of dressing left after the lunch rush, and only had one piece of pumpkin pie. I brought it home and put it in the refrigerator. I'll have it for